Amen. That's what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Turn there with me. In the seventh and final I am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares to his disciples in John 15 and verse 1, and then again in these first eight verses of John 15, saying, I am the vine, and you, my followers, my disciples, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the branches. I am the trunk of the tree, is what Jesus was saying. And radiating off of my trunk is the branches, are the branches, and you are the branches. And many things that we can learn about that. I hope you'll take your worship pages now, follow along, take a few notes of your own as we first of all look together at the abiding believer. That's what the choir was singing about. As the branches, we must abide in the vine. As the branches, we must abide in the trunk of the tree, or we'll have no life. We'll have no sap flowing through our branches, through our limbs. And so we see the abiding believer and his pruning beginning in verse 1. Look there, every eye. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I think I need to stop right here and do a little explaining to you, because there are two kinds of branches that Jesus is talking about here in verse 2. Now, it's clear he is saying, I am the vine, or I am the trunk of the tree. But there's two kinds of branches that are attached to me. The first kind of branch is identified in the first part of verse 2. It is a branch that does not bear fruit. It looks like maybe all the other branches, but it has no life-giving sap flowing through it. And it's like a lot of people that show up at church. You know, they look fine and dandy. They come dressed up. They might even be leaders in the church, but when it comes to them having the life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit flowing through their life, they are deader than a hammer. They have attached themselves to the vine. They have attached themselves to Christ. They have attached themselves to the church, but there's no life in them. They are what I refer to as the great pretenders. Or they are respectable frauds. Our church houses today are filled with respectable frauds. They go about their day and their duties fooling everyone, even themselves, that they really are a branch abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, but far, far from the truth. They have no fruit. Reminds me of a home many, many years ago out in the country. A family of four lived there, a farmer and his wife and their two young sons. And the dad was a very strong disciplinarian and believed in early to bed, early to rise, and his boys didn't like that philosophy at all, especially the early to bed part. But each night their father would march them upstairs to their bedroom and strictly forbid them to go outside their bedroom, but to stay in their bed and have a good night's sleep. But the boys were rebellious, and they found a way to get outside the house, to do things that their father didn't want them to do. And their escape route was not back down the stairs, because there were old creaky wooden stairs, and every step would alarm their father to their exit. And so they had a bedroom window outside their second story bedroom, and outside that bedroom window was an old fruit tree that had a limb that stretched out close to their window. And with some effort, they could open their window and reach out to that limb, an old strong limb, and grab it and climb down the tree and do all kinds of things that night without their father knowing. At least they didn't think he knew, but he was wise to it. And so the next morning at the breakfast table, the father declared that, you know that old fruit tree out beside our house, you know, it's been there for years and it hasn't borne any fruit for years and years and years. I think I'm just going to cut that thing down. Well, those boys almost fell through their seats at the breakfast table, and their minds got to working. And they went into town, and they bought some artificial apples and some fishing line. You're way ahead of me, aren't you? And that next night, they climbed out onto the limbs of that tree, and with the fishing line and the artificial fruit, they attached all these fake apples. The next morning, the dad was up early, and he called out to his sleeping household for them to join him outside at the base of this fruit tree. And down came the boys and his wife, and he said, "I want y'all to look at this fruit tree. It's just amazing. It hasn't borne any fruit for years and years and years. But today I look up and it's laden with apples. The only thing I don't understand is it's a pear tree." Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that show up at church on Sunday morning. They look like the real thing, but they've just got fake fruit. They've just got artificial fruit. And they might fool me. My goodness, I'm the most gullible person in this room. You can pull the wool over my eyes so easily. Don't pat yourself on the back for faking me out. But I'll tell you, there's one person you'll never fool, and that's the vine dresser, the Lord God, the Father. And he comes along and he inspects every branch in this room today, seeing if we truly do abide in the vine, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that branch that has no fruit on it, for that branch that has a bunch of artificial fruit on it, that fake believer, that false Christian, God does something very, very alarming to them. He takes out his pruning shears and he cuts them off. But it doesn't end there. If you fast forward to verse 6, you'll see that he throws them in a pile, and there they wither. But that's not the end for them. Because one day, on a day of reckoning, he builds a fire. And he throws those fruitless branches on the fire. And that is their destiny. That is their doom. My friend, I want you to hear me today. You might have been a member of the church for years and years and years. You might have attached yourself to the church. You might have attached yourself to Christ. You might have fooled everyone around you. But there's one person you'll never fool in a million years, and that's the vine dresser. He knows the truth about you. He is the fruit inspector. And if you go throughout the rest of your life and never come to a point that you are truly abiding in Christ, there's a day of reckoning for you. And you'll be cut off. You'll be pruned. And there's a fire waiting for you. We have about 3 acres of undeveloped property behind our house, a bunch of pine trees and a few hardwoods. And I spend the fall and winter months just going back there and with a saw and other tools, I will raise the canopy of those trees, and I'll remove all the undergrowth so that our family and our dog can just enjoy walking back through there. It's taken me almost 3 years to do about half of that piece of property. But I always, as the winter is closing and spring is coming, will take the piles and piles and piles of the withered branches and will put them close to a fire ring that I have built with rocks, and we'll get our fire permit, and on a certain day, it will be the day of reckoning for those branches. And I'll light the pine straw, and pile after pile I'll put on top of it, and the smoke will rise, signaling to all the neighborhood that it's a day of reckoning. The false dead branches are now meeting their fate. A fiery fate it is. My friend, I want you to know that if you're lost without Jesus, you can dress yourself up in your fine clothes. You can come in here on Sunday morning. You can sing loud. You can say amen. You can be a leader in this church. But if you don't abide in him, verse 6 tells you what your future is. Now, don't be confused, because there's two kinds of pruning here in verse 2. There is the cutting away of that false Christian, that fake believer. And then, if you read verse 2 very carefully, the second part of it speaks of the pruning of a genuine, fruitful believer. Let's look at it, every eye. Look at it there again, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And we know from reading verse 6, he burns them. But here's the second kind of branch that's in the vine. It says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. This is the real believer. This is the abiding believer. This is the one that has the life-giving sap flowing through its limbs and its twigs. And on the end, according to verse 2, there is fruit. It's what distinguishes it from the fruitless fake branch, the false believer. And what is that fruit? Paul tells us what it is. In Galatians chapter 5, it is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, and gentleness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're a genuine believer, you'll be abiding in Christ. You'll be abiding in the vine. And a natural result of that is he's going to produce fruit in your life. But don't be surprised when the vine dresser comes to you with the pruning shears also. Because he knows that if you're going to bear fruit, as verse 2 says, he's going to have to do some pruning. He's going to have to cut away some unnecessary branches that are diverting sap and power from your life. Amy and I know our neighbors think we're a family of lumberjacks. We get out with our saws and our pruning shears in the winter, and we will come to the trees that have lower growth in our front yard and our back and side yard, and we will cut away the unnecessary lower branches. And even at the base of many of those young trees, there will be things that are called sucker branches. They grow out of the base, and the sap goes up into them, but they just suck away the energy and the sap that needs to come up through the main route, through the trunk, through the main vine of the tree. And so we will cut those things away that are diverting energy and power. We will cut away the lower branches because we have learned from observation that if you keep those lower branches on, your tree is not going to grow as high and as wide as it could. But when you cut away those lower branches as the tree gets bigger and bigger and bigger, that tree is going to be the biggest tree in the neighborhood. And guess what God does? He looks at a fruitful believer. Someone that is genuine, someone that is abiding in Christ. And he will see something in your life that doesn't belong there. He will see something in your life that is a distraction. He will see something in your life that is diverting energy and diverting power in your life. And so he, with those same shears, will come and cut away this lamb and cut away that lamb. And what do? We say, God, why are you being so mean to me? God, why are you cutting away this thing that I feel like I need, this thing that I cherish so much? And God, the vine dresser, sees the end from the beginning. He knows what to prune away from our lives. And those things that you think that he's being so mean about, that he's causing suffering in your life, they're actually for your benefit, so that you will grow and so that you'll bear more fruit. Remember this, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And even when it seems like he's being unkind and unloving by pruning something away from your life, it is for your benefit and it's for his glory so that you can produce more fruit. But as we look at this abiding believer, we see not only his pruning, but if you'll just go through it with me, you see also his purity. Look there in verse 3. Every eye looking at verse 3 there, Jesus says, you are already clean or pure because of the word which I have spoken to you. So here is the issue of purity in the life of the abiding believer. Now, how does the abiding believer live a life that is pure and clean and spotless? Well, don't take my word for it. Take apart verse 2. word for word, and you will see what that cleaning agent is. It is the Word. The Word spoken to you by Jesus. It is the Word of God. It is that Bible that you hold in your hands right now. Friend, I want you to know that this Bible right now can clean you up. It can lead you into a pure and undefiled life if you will incorporate it into your life, if you will internalize it, if you will apply it, and if you will live it out. God will clean you up. You'll have a life that is a wonderful testimony for Him. And you won't be bringing shame and disgrace on the name of your Lord because you're living out the principles of His Word. The Bible is pure. That's what David said in Psalm 119. Verse 140, it says, "Your word is very pure." And because of that, Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man live a clean life?" Well, he answers his own question. By heeding according to your word. By living out the word of God. That's how you live a clean life. And then the verse that so many of us could quote from memory, Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against God." What does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? It means to memorize it. I know a lot of you saying, "Well, that excludes me. I can't memorize anything." But if I asked you to give to me from memory your best friends, your list of best friends' telephone numbers, boom, 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 boom. You could just give it to me, one right after the other. If I asked you to give me the statistics for the Atlanta Braves, man, a lot of you guys could boom, 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 give it to me. Because you memorize what's important to you. So, watch this. If the Word of God is not a priority to you, if the Word of God is not important to you, you're not going to think about it. And therefore, you're not going to memorize it. And therefore, you're not going to hide it in your heart. And therefore, your life might not be as clean as it ought to be. That's why Bible study is so important. That's why you ought to be in a Sunday school class with a Sunday school teacher that opens up the book, that opens up the Bible, and says, "Thus saith the Lord." That's why you need to be under the preaching of the Word of God. And not just any kind of preaching. You need to be under the kind of preaching where the person standing behind the pulpit has a Bible. And they open the Bible and they say, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm not giving you my opinions. I'm giving you what God's Word says. Because I know from personal experience, as I apply God's Word to my life, as I internalize it into my life, as I meditate upon it, it has a cleansing, purifying effect in my life. God bless you for being here today. God bless you for sitting under the preaching of God's Word today. It will have a cleansing effect in your life. But go on here and look in verse 3 where we see, or actually verse 4 where we see a third thing. We've seen the pruning of the abiding believer. We've seen the abiding believer in his purity. Now we see the abiding believer and his proximity or his location. Where can we find this abiding believer? Well, it's seen in a word that's repeated three times here in verse 4. It's the word abide. Look at it there in verse 4 where it says, Jesus speaking, "Abide in me." That's the first time that he uses it. "And I in you." Look at this. How can I have him abiding in me and I abide in him? How can that happen? Well, it's just like this. It's just like interlocking fingers. Look at this. "I am abiding in him as he abides in me." Boy, you talk about a bond. That's a wonderful bond. And that is how close and how near I'm to be to God. I'm to be in close proximity to him. I'm not to be over here trying to do things by myself in my own strength, in my own ability, but I am to abide in him. That's my place. That's my location. That's my proximity. And if you didn't get it the first time, he says it a second time in this same verse. You know, he's already said there in verse number 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine there, he said it the second time. If you didn't get it the first time, the second time, he's going to say it a third time in this same verse. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Do you got the picture, friend? If you are a believer, then you need to be as close as possible to the vine. You need to be as near as possible to the Lord Jesus Christ by abiding in him and him abiding in you. There is no success. There is no hope for that person that is living a distant life from the Lord. And I just feel strongly that there are people in this building today that even during the preaching of this message and the singing of this wonderful music, you've drawn closer to God and you feel nearer to him. You feel a closer communion with him and fellowship with him than you have in a long, long time. Friend, it won't end when you go out this door. You can continue in that closeness, in that proximity, if you will, by an act of your own will, abide in him. But notice something else as we look at these following verses. We also see the abiding believer and his produce. Look there in verse number 5. It says there, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I just love that. I love what is being said here as we see a continual progression of fruit bearing. He mentioned it in verse 2, and now he comes again here in this verse and says that we bear much fruit. And then he says it again as we go on later in the verse, verse number 8. Look at it here. It says, By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruits. You see, I'm not to remain stagnant, but I am to continually, as I abide in Christ, bear good fruit for his honor and for his glory. You know, we have a peach tree at the side of our house that Amy planted just last growing season. And we're out by it yesterday, not expecting really to see any evidence of fruit on that tree. But sure enough, go by that young tree, and I mean it was heavy laden, not a few peaches, but heavy laden with peaches about the size of my pinky fingernail here. It was unbelievable. But when you think about it, that's just a natural consequence of abiding in Christ or abiding in the trunk of that tree. Now, when I looked at that peach tree yesterday, I saw that it wasn't expending any effort of its own to produce these peaches. I mean, it wasn't sitting there just going, it wasn't sweating, it wasn't perspiring, it was not straining. You know what it was doing? Just abiding, just doing what comes naturally to it, letting the sap flow out there so that there could be produce. But here's what happens to so many of us. You see what the last part of that verse says? Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And there's a lot of people in this church and in churches like this that are doing a lot of stuff. Man, they're active. They're sweating. They're perspiring. Man, they're straining. They're going from pillar to post trying to do good for God. And the only problem is they're doing it in their own strength. The only problem is they're doing it with their own ideas, their own agenda, their own expertise, and they're way out here a million miles away from God, and they've forgotten to ask God to empower them. They have forgotten to ask God to bless them and to work through them. Instead of that, they just got their own ideas and their own ways. And is it any wonder? They're miserable. They're frustrated. They are straining, burning the candle at both ends and having nothing to show for it. Friend, the way that you produce fruit in God's economy of things is just to stay close to him. Just do what a branch does with the trunk. Just abide in it so the sap can flow out here. And as a natural consequence, you're going to produce fruit. I don't have fruit, Pastor. Well, the answer pure and simple is, you're not abiding in him. God wants you to produce. He doesn't want you to be a pew potato that comes in here week after week after week, sitting on your blessed assurance, not doing one form thing for God. He wants you to be abiding in Him so you can produce fruits for His honor and for His glory. But we go on here and we see several other things about this abiding believer. Notice with me not only his produce, but notice his perseverance. Verse number 6. A lot of you might get the wrong idea and might have gotten the wrong idea by reading verse 6 and saying a person could lose their salvation. You know, last week I spent about half the message talking about the eternal security of the believer and how once you're saved, you're always saved. And a lot of people come to this verse and they say, oh, this sounds like a person loses their salvation. No, I want to explain it to you. Look at it here in verse number 6. Verse number 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Which branch is being spoken of here? You know, there were two branches in verse 2. There was the fake, fruitless branch, and then there was the fruitful, faithful branch. Which branch is being talked about here? It is that branch that has no fruit. It is that branch that is a fake, an artificial, a respectable fraud, a great pretender. This is the branch that is dealt with in this way. The genuine branch, the fruitful branch, abides. And that branch perseveres to the end. It has eternal security. But my friend, you have no hope and no security if your life is not in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, when Jesus gave this discourse, he was walking out to the Mount of Olives and he was passing the temple complex, which had beautiful ornamentation as one of its architectural features. And it was an architectural feature of a vine that just flowed and flowed and flowed. And Jesus would walk through the vineyards there as he gave this discourse. It had been Judas Iscariot who had just betrayed him, but had fooled everyone amongst the disciples. Even at this point, they had no idea. He was the respectable fraud. He was the one that everyone looked up to. He was the one that everyone said, man, he's the role model. He's the example. But Jesus knew all along that he wasn't abiding, that he wasn't true. He was just a fake. And that person has no hope unless they come to Christ in faith. Well, two more things very quickly here. Notice the abiding believer in his prayers. I love this, verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask or pray for whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Wow! What a promise! I know it's not the first time you've read that promise. Many of you have read it over and over and over again, and you scratch your head because you think about your own prayer life, and you've gone to the Lord so many times, genuinely asking Him for something that you so desired. But the answer many times has not come back in the affirmative. Many times it's not come back with a yes. The reason I know that is because that's happened so many times in my life. There's been times when I have gone before the Lord in prayer, expressing my desire to Him. But I haven't gotten the payoff of this verse. Not all my desires have been answered from God. Is Jesus a liar? Was Jesus not telling the truth? You know, the thing about verses like this, we love to hone in on the promise part, on the last part of the verse. But we don't pay much attention to the first part of the verse, the stipulation part, the requirement part. And here's the requirement part, plain and simple. If I want to have my desires answered in the affirmative from God, according to the first part of this verse, I must abide in Him. And His word, the Bible, must abide in me. And then this is what's going to happen. This might be worth writing down, because this is a principle that you can take to the bank. Your desires will become, or actually, the way to get, let me start all over again. Here's a better way to put it. The way to get what you want is to want what God wants. Any amens there? The way to get what you want is to want what God wants. And you will get what you want because your desires will be His desires if you are abiding in Him and if His Word is abiding in you. That's why I think prayer is a vain pursuit apart from the study of God's Word. Because a lot of us are pleading with God and we don't know the Word. We don't know what it says. It's not abiding in us. And my friend, you won't get your desires if your desires aren't God's desires. And the way for your desires to be God's desires is to get into His Word and have Him abide in you. That's a successful prayer life. And it's all for God's praise. Last verse I'll read to you, verse 8. Look at it there, every eye, the abiding believer in His praise. It says, "By this my Father is glorified." That's an interesting word in the original language of the Bible. Let me tell you what that word is in the Greek language. It's the word doxa, D-O-X-A. From it we get our English word doxology. It means to praise God. That's what we are going to sing here in just a few minutes. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. My friend, I want you to know, when you are abiding in Christ, when His Word is abiding in you, when there is the dual abiding of you abiding in Him and Him abiding in you, it brings praise and glory to God's name. I'm getting used to this thing. Woke a few of you up. Good. All right? So, this is the key, my friends. This is the key, pure and simple. Pure and simple. You're either a real fruitful branch or you're not. And if you're not, you need to be saved today. You do. And then there's some of us sitting in this building today. We belong to Christ, but here lately, He's been coming at us with those pruning shears. And we think He's so mean. We think He's so unkind. We think He's so unloving to take this away from me and this away from me and cut this from my life and this from my life, when He's just wanting you to grow and to be more like Him. And some of you need to realize that today. And you need to yield yourself to Him today. And then there's some of us, man, we got jobs in this church. And we're working and we're working and we're working. We're sweating and we're straining. And we don't have one thing to show for it. The reason is, we're trying to do it in our own power and not abiding in Him. And you can deal with that today as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, I just want to thank You today for Your Word. And I pray that it might find a resting place in each one of our hearts, that it might abide in us as we abide in You. And Father, I pray for that person that is not a believer, that person that's never been saved, I pray that they would be saved today. Father, I pray for others that have important decisions, those that are struggling with areas of suffering in their life. May they see it today as being a part of Your plan, a part of Your pruning, so that they could grow and be more fruitful. Father, I pray for those today that need a church home, for those that need to be baptized. I just pray that You would move in our midst, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.